That's good.
That's great. That's fucking great.
The funny thing is, I almost picked things. So that would have been three things.
Our guest host is the thing.
I don't know how they do it. I mean, I know how they do it because it's got to be a real hand for like 99% of it. But like, whoever it is the strongest fingers in the history of like the world.
No, I mean, we're going to get into it, but Thing steals the show.
Yeah, like whoever has those hands or has that hand, he must like just lather it with like goat milk and just like just make sure his hand is just always
Zoolander.
Well, it's sweetest. Like it's like
Zoolander. He's got to have insurance in his hand.
Has his hand in that thing, and it's like, oh, keep it secret, keep it safe. All right, welcome to a very special TV episode of Three and a Half Gentlemen, the podcast, where three of the four hosts provide a refined and intellectual analysis of movies from our private collections, and one of us tries desperately to keep up. We'll let you decide which host is which, but for now, my name is Sean, and with me, as always, are my co-hosts,
Boda, Jeremiah. Boda.
The most interesting plants grow in the shade.
Boda, Eddie. Boda.
And Brandon.
There it is. We just snapped.
Sorry, Ed. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, it's okay. But before we dive into season four of our podcast, Sin Jerry, with many more of our favorite films, we're going to finish off this calendar year by taking a look at a TV show that is hitting a lot of buzz around the entertainment industry.
In the underground. As with every review we give, our goal is to answer one simple question. How many drinks does it take to get through the film, or in this case, the show that we just watched? At the end of the podcast, we'll rate the episode based on a scale of 0 to 5, 0 being the perfect film or episode that you can watch it stone cold sober, and 5 being the sort of the film or episode that makes you want to have your testicle nibble off by a flesh-eating piranha and then have your merman tip your canoe over while you struggle to finish one boat race and while finding yourself having visions of other people's gratuitous death.
Hey, Brandon,
solid.
You're not over. I let you write the script one fucking time, and you overachieve. What the fuck is that? The first one was enough.
Proud of it.
I was just like, is this going to end? Is this going to end soon?
So is Brandon frozen for anyone else?
I'm not frozen.
No.
Fuck you.
Let it go. Okay. With that, what movie do we have snapping its fingers twice into our podcast this evening, gentlemen?
Yes,
what
TV show. Come on. We have who wrote this damn script?
Its fingers.
All right. Well, tonight we have the newest Netflix.
Sorry. It's not as easy as it seems, very difficult. My friend. Not as easy as it seems.
See, the tables have turned.
Oh, the turntables.
Oh, man. All right. Tonight, we have the newest Netflix phenomenon, Wednesday, which has just surpassed Stranger Things by becoming the most watched English language series in a single week in the history of Netflix. So it's a pretty big deal. The story follows the titular character of Wednesday Adams, who is sent off to a special boarding school for students who are different than others, which includes vampires, werewolves, and sirens. There, she stumbles into a murder mystery involving students from the school and members of the neighboring town. But the scariest part of all for Wednesday is learning to grow as a student and as a person. The season has an IMDb score of 8.5, and the first two episodes of this 8-episode season are directed by none other than the one, the true Tim Burton. Which, by the way, has his fingerprints all over this thing. Like, this is a Tim Burton thing.
It feels like a Tim Burton thing from the 90s. Like, him and Danny Elfman was like, hey, let's just get back to the swing of things.
Has anybody seen the Mrs. Peregrine's School for Extraordinary Children that he... Because I'm wondering, is it like this? Is it similar?
I have not seen that.
But I feel like it's got to have the same vibe.
But I'm going to amend. I'm gonna amend your script here, Brandon, and add it's got a 70% critic score and an 88% viewer score.
You literally
on
didn't
Rotten
find
Tomatoes,
that. So good. See, I don't know where to go. Yes.
Which was omitted from the Rotten Tomatoes.
I thought you just found it all on IMDb. I literally don't know where to go with that page.
You just type.
Where did Sean find this?
Okay.
So for popularity, it's number one, just to let you know.
It is number one.
And I wanted to throw this out there. In our group text before we started this, I was under the impression we were doing a different movie because I didn't pay attention. And we had the most almost perfect who's on first Abbott and Costello text message thread.
I
said, what are we doing? I said, what are we doing for the movie tonight? And Eddie says something to the effect of Wednesday. And I said, no, what are we doing tonight?
Richard, you said a movie. You named the movie. I don't want to say the movie, but you named the movie. I was like, no, it's Wednesday. And you're like, okay, but what's tonight? I'm like, that movie's on Monday. It's Wednesday tonight. And you're oh my God.
So listeners, I mean, that's pretty much an introduction of our conversations normally. It's just like, that is usually how it goes all the fucking time, which is like, it's great, but you're like, wait, what the fuck are we talking about?
Yeah, with a couple of GIFs in there, GIFs in there, and some emojis. So no, I appreciate that.
Absolutely. GIFs, emojis, yeah. Yes. All right. So let's talk about this episode, because one of the things that I wish that I had done before watching this episode was read some sort of a premise of what the show was going to be about, because I got lost in the first episode just analyzing the characters, just kind of making my way back into the Addams Family universe, which I was stupidly under the impression that Tim Burton directed the first two. So I'm sitting here going, I have these preconceived notions in my head, and then all of a sudden she's at the school, and it really doesn't pick up until the last 15 minutes of the episode or 5 minutes of the episode. And I'm like, well, shit. I just spent, I don't know how long the episodes are. It feels like 45 minutes an hour. I wish I had known kind of where it was going, I guess, is my point.
I was kind of nervous about watching the first episode, and I thought this was supposed to be like, focusing on one character, and we got like the whole family in a way at the first 5 or 10 minutes of it. And I was just thinking to myself, like, oh man, I do not like how they portray Pugsley being a little like, bitch of a character,
Pugsley. Weak and everything. That's
super Pugsley. Bitch. Yeah.
No, he wasn't like that. I don't remember him being like that. That's the thing. I thought he was kind of scary too. Yeah. And I didn't like the casting of Louis.
Oh my God, me neither.
I was just like, nah, dude, this guy's no Raul Julia.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? There's no way that Morticia will be with this fucking guy. Yeah. Come on, yo.
Morticia was amazing, though.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
It's good to see her doing stuff again, and it was great to see Christina Ricci for so many different reasons, but I love her. I think that her character is going to be playing some major role in the later episodes. But no, for me, I was actually really good that we just – hold on. I'm talking. My family just got done watching the new animated Addams Families, which the first one I thought was really good. The second one sucks. But what it did do is it kind of prefaced the characters for me, and it was good. And even when I'm watching the animated, I'm going back to the Christina Ricci 2 that we had, years ago. But Wednesday is the only character that you actually give a shit about. She's the most fascinating character. And so the fact that they're taking her on this, as the focus of a show, I think is brilliant. But what I think is even more brilliant they're taking it into a murder mystery detective vibe, which I think is just fantastic. Yeah. I haven't seen Enola Holmes, but I know that it's kind of similar, probably in vibe, to this idea of, going out in search of the mystery and finding things out. So, I was really excited about it. I know we don't do first impressions, but I got to be honest, the first episode really turned me for a negative loop. I was like, why are we doing this? Why are we going to podcast this? It doesn't deserve it. But then we get into the later episodes. So I'm wrong.
Where did it switch for you, by the way? Well, I'm kind of curious. Yeah. When did it switch to you? Because when it kind of got to the kind of like the Nevermore Academy, which is kind of like Harry Potter.
It's all Hogwarts.
I mean, that's what I was like,
No. Okay. So,
did it switch for you guys at that point?
Episode two. I know we're going in order, but for me, it was episode two. One threw me off. You mentioned Louis Guzman. I hated his casting. I was upset with it. I thought the casting of Wednesday was great and the other characters, but episode two is when it turned. Ed?
I just wanted to guys know did you guys catch in the very beginning of episode one when one of the guys at the water polo team, I think it was Tyler, he calls Wednesday Cookie, and she replies she prefers Spooky, and that comes from the whole theme song, like they're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together, Ookie, the Addams Family. So that was like a little throwback that I enjoy that.
Wait, are you talking about Tyler, the coffee maker guy?
Something like that,
I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say I did not care for the casting of Luis Guzman until let me rephrase, because I was comparing him to the old Gomez Adams of the Sean Astin and the I go back all the way to the OG
Sean Astin,
Raul Julia, I think
Raul Julia.
Raul Julia. in the remakes or in the movies. And then you have this character who I'm like, why would they go this direction? Why would they pick him? And then I thought of his other work, and I can tell you right now, he is a fantastic actor. I really like him as an actor. He was in
– He's a great character actor. Yeah.
Great character actor, and he was in
Count of Monte Cristo.
Count of Monte Cristo, yeah. And he was wonderful in that. And he's been in some – Yeah, some beautiful movies, and I'm like, why are you picking him? And then as the show progresses, it becomes a little more clear, number one, why they picked him. And if you read some of the trivia for the show, they went back to the more fat, simple-minded Gomez. That,
the original
that
kind concept.
Of the original concept of him. And I will say that – is pretty. I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit, but in the future episodes, he's got a couple of lines that he delivers that are just only he could deliver in that way, and it made me.
I haven't gotten there. I'm taking this per podcast.
Okay. So I mean, just what he says. Just what he says. Hold on. Just what he says. Oh, hello, my little rain cloud. Like that. I mean, the way he uses the negative. Like as the positive is so sweet to me. It's just so funny.
So I've watched all the way up to four so far. I've watched half. And so far, I want to say two, around when Wednesday gets it, I think it something sparked when she's watching when I think it's when she has to go looking for activity for the school for Nevermore. I think that's when I started liking the idea, oh, this is kind of badass. Like there's all these different little clubs and it becomes a little mystery, investigation that I think we were talking about earlier. I want to say, but episode four, I'm jumping ahead, way ahead, but episode four, I really I'm like, oh my God, this show is a whole different level.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. But no, I would say one, it ended good. And I was like, okay, well, it left me a little hanger. And then two definitely pipped up. And I think from one to two, it was a big jump.
So how did episode one end? Let's start there.
Rowan gets attacked.
Yeah, the Macaulay Culkin guy gets attacked.
Right. So you have this character throughout the first episode that, this is why I wish I had known some sort of a plot. Because Wednesday is kicked out of her traditional school. She basically has to go to Nevermore, where I want to talk about Gwendolyn Christie.
Is
that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. And then she has to go to this Nevermore Academy and also to therapy. And it's in this small little town called Jericho. And all of a sudden she's being haunted and she's having these visions and she's trying to be killed by this weirdo who has telepathy. And this is where the show to me got a little interesting. Before here, I was like, I'm sorry, what's going on? When you start learning that everyone has kind of a special gift. And I was like, at first I was like, ugh, it's going to be like Gifted Children. It's going to be this weird show where they've taken the Addams Family and they made them unique in the original. And now they're just going to put them in with the rest of the group of all the different genres of horror. And then as I'm going through it, I'm like, ooh, this is really good because you really don't know what each character can do in the show. You don't know what all these students can really do. And it kind of opens up a lot of great possibilities. So go ahead, Jeremy. Sorry.
Yep.
This first episode, I think it got for me, it made the turn that you got the foundation of what the show is going to be regarding to different types of the class of what you're going through with the school, and also regarding to she almost gets killed the first time. So I'm like, okay, this shit's getting serious. I mean, and then the last ending of the episode where it's happening in the Harvest Fair or whatever, you're just like, oh, okay, they're not actually being PG-13. This is being pretty freaking hardcore and shit like that. And I was just like, yeah, I got this, man. This is totally great. And it has to do with the actress, man. Her name was Jenna Ortega.
She's amazing.
She's been the Scream Queen. She's been in so many scary movies like Scream, the reboot. She was playing the Drew Barrymore character. And then she was in Ty West's crazy 70s horror show, which
she was also in You.
She was in You. But this year, it kind of makes sense that this year she wraps it up. Wednesday, she's now the Scream Queen now when you think about it. And she did really well. She knocked it out of the park.
And there was a lot of pressure, I think, on her especially given that Christina Ricci returned for the show
right in front of her. Yeah,
yeah. Like hey, by the way, here's a character I basically made very popular. Don't fuck it up. But also, I think she did. She's playing homage to the original character, but also making it her own. And the way that she delivers her lines have a lot more like cuteness behind them and like mischievousness than just darkness. It's like she makes these offhanded comments, and it just they make me fucking laugh. And I like this is a very serious dark
moment.
They're
very quick.
And I giggle like it's just like.
Yeah, go so a couple things. First off, it threw me off, and I was a little bit upset, and I want to see what you guys thought as far as it being so closely related to Hogwarts. To me, I know we mentioned it before, but Sean, kind of going off of what you're saying, like the first episode, to me, it was like it's just redoing Hogwarts where you got these different like factions that are basically battling it out. And the second one, you basically have the Triwizard Championship going on. So, I mean, that still –
It was called the Fire.
I have only gotten to two, right? I've only seen two. So maybe it changes from here. But to me, I am a little bit still hesitant about really, really going in on the show and saying this is fantastic because it just seems to me like a reworking of what Harry Potter already did. Am I wrong?
And to your thing, Brandon, episode two, it went to another direction that I was not expecting for it. And then it just builds from that, which is pretty fucking awesome to watch.
Episode three, I'm way ahead of it. You get more of a real good story to about the town. I don't want to go too far into it. I don't want to jump into that. But yeah, I mean, it opens up to more of a plot.
Yeah.
So I'm going to disagree with you that it's like Harry Potter, that it's just like Harry Potter, only because Harry Potter was not the first one to be centered around a school. Harry Potter was kind of, I mean,
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. There's a lot of. Not really Lord of the Rings. But I'm saying there's a lot of stories that center around like boys and girls schools and blah 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 blah. What I think that this one does is Harry Potter-esque is there's secrets about the school and about the parents that kind of are coming to fruition, but also this battle between those who are different and those who are quote unquote normal has been raging since the time of the, inception of basically the colonies, the pilgrims. So you have kind of a history of it. So I will give you that, but I don't think that's a Harry Potter theme. I think that's kind of like a general theme. The only Harry Potter-esque thing is that the school has some secrets and some cool shit, but I don't find magic here. I find like that it's, I don't find that these people are stricken with magic so much as they're stricken with like extra abilities. I know I'm splitting hairs, but it's not like it's everyone has the same degree or they're learning about their magic.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about that, Sean, is like, I know it's not the same thing, but I mean, when you watch episode two, you cannot not think of like, okay, this is so Goblet of Fire.
100%.
And each, it seems like creature, like each vampire group, each like sirens group, each of them kind of like represented their whole, like their own house. And they had that vibe to it where I'm like, okay. And even like the whole mermaid thing going on the bottom, I'm like, dude, this is
and
like,
it's fine that that's the case.
Like all the fire.
It's just like it's so similar that I want that unique quality, which you get with the humor, right? I mean, I think that's what sets this show apart from a lot of other shows is that if you got this deadpan humor, and I mean, I know I'm a little bit late to the boat, but Jenna Ortega knocks the deadpan out of the freaking water.
Oh, for sure.
So I was gonna say the only difference with this and the Harry Potter series, I want to say is. This seems more of it's like deaf. This is more about like a deaf, like everyone knows they're almost like a villains campus, right? Like they're all like villains.
Yeah.
And they're like, I mean, you looked at even like the theme, right? The theme's walking around. That's a hand walking around and no one really freaks out. They're like, oh, oh.
You kind of take a liking to it.
Yeah, you kind of take it. They like it, and like, even the town. So it's that difference with Harry Potter is like it's like there's good guys and there's bad guys. With this, I feel like Wednesday, the whole school is like they're all villains in a weird way. But Wednesday sees them all as clowns. Like she sees them as non-threats. Like she's here to investigate into something else. And at the same time, all these students, she hates the stereotypical high school vibes, like of the clits. And it's kind of like I like that. It brings like a little drama of high school in it a little bit differently than Harry Potter did.
It was kind of a brilliant device too they used to make her like and stay at school. So it was like, you know, obviously she's going to hate school because she hates fucking everything. She's Wednesday. She has no friends. She doesn't want to stay. She doesn't like anything. But there just happens to be this psychopathic murderer killing people, and she wants to get to the bottom of it. Therefore, she will acquiesce and stay at school and actually enjoy. Yes, you know,
I mean, I'm jumping ahead to episode two, which I think we might as well do. But, you know, there's that hint of a smile after they win the boat race, right? And to me, Jeremy, you were asking, like, when did it finally cross the threshold for me? It was that moment when she has just the play of a smile. It's not a real smile. But you see that, you know what? You like when somebody is happy, and you see her actually, like, experimenting with this idea of happiness. And, I mean, I know we're probably going to talk about it a lot over the next couple of episodes, but her roommate is fucking a perfect balance to her darkness. I mean, it's cliche and it's, you know, bosom buddies and everything. Oh my God.
She's the Ron to Harry, pretty much.
I thought they were going to like have more of a fight. I had no idea. Like, Brandon, for jumping in, but I thought they were going to have more of like a, from the movies with, you know, Wednesday Adams, like fighting with one of the characters. Butting heads, but it became real balanced.
It became the odd couple, like the odd roommate, you know? Like,
I truly enjoyed it. Like when this is episode two, I think it was when her roommate was going on a date. It could have been episode two, and Wednesday says,
"Don't you ruin us,
like, have fun." And if he breaks your heart,
that's not on
three
two.
Or two, Jeremiah.
Yeah, buddy, we'll talk actually about that next episode.
Oh shit! Okay,
damn you. I can't wait to see the date.
But overall, so episode two though, I do like how like. She's so colors, and then like she pretty much bats on Wednesday, like, ew, like what the hell you do in my room? Like, well, and this is, she drew a line down of the room, and Wednesday is pretty bad. That's
my
cello.
It is painted black. Yeah. Oh my God. That song. And
apparently,
And she's badass as a John Wick. I mean, she could fuck up fucking people and shit. I'm like,
oh my God, yes. Fencing was badass.
And I love the fact that she got, like, where'd you learn that? Oh, my uncle. You know, I'm like, of course, Uncle Fester. Where?
Fester.
No, that fencing scene was fucking unbelievable. Scene. That was the highlight. Well, there was two highlights of episode one. The fencing scene and the painted black on the cello. Painted black for years and years and years was my favorite song ever made. It's Rolling Stones. It's so good. And for them to take it.
So I'm going to tell you this, Brandon. It does the whole Bridgerton thing where they actually do a lot of scores or a lot of like music pieces into cellos throughout the whole season. And it's pretty fucking badass.
Well, Westworld did that with a piano, which I loved.
Yeah, Westworld did that beautifully. Westworld is, God, so good. So if we're moving on to episode two slightly, I would say that we kind of skipped over Gwendolyn Christie, which I think is a very bad thing to do, because number one is I think she's a really fun addition, and it's so fun to see her in a beautiful role where she's clearly having the time of her life, because in Game of Thrones she was always like she was always pinched and pierced and like, oh, I'm very upset.
Star Wars she was always wearing a helmet,
right? and so it's really fun to see her, you know, kind of be a little bit more glamorous, and I think she's funny, and I think that the first thing you notice, and this is, you know, you asked Jeremy, I think you asked earlier, what kind of got you into the show? What turned the corner for you? And I would say one of the biggest things that turned the corner for me is when the person who died left the school, got in the car, went to the train station, and then turned out to be Gwendolyn Christie. And I think
crazy.
Yeah,
I was like a shapeshifter. Holy shit!
Yeah, all of a sudden you've got this turn, and I once again had no idea what this show was about.
Well, because I thought it was just a shapeshifter who's taking on the appearance of the principal. I don't know these things. You got to pretend like you've never seen.
Well, we don't know either.
I know for a fact that that's a shapeshifter.
Well, yeah, it's a shapeshifter.
I mean, you know. So you got shapeshifters, you got vampires, mermaids, werewolves. So I'm like, okay, you have everything here, man. So
the weird faceless people.
It's crazy.
You know, and, but then you jump into this. Then you jump into this kind of you know, this Goblet of Fire esque. Let's row the boat across the water, and you have kind of a better introduction, I think, of the I don't know what her name is. I want to say it's Beatrice. But I could
The roommate?
Bianca?
The roommate?
No, Bianca.
Joy.
No, the siren.
Joy. Yeah. No,
her name is Bianca.
Bianca.
Some of the
Bianca.
Bianca.
Yeah, it's Bianca, but her real name is Joy.
Yeah, Joy Sunday.
Joy Sunday.
So, she's first good. Of all, I did not like her in the first it's episode a badass very eyes. Much. And in the second episode, she started to grow on me. And me then too. Now I actually like her a lot. But what's great about a villain that's not really a villain in a show full of villains is that she can be like she could do things that are seemingly underhand or seemingly bad, and then when you find out her backstory, it changes your opinion
it's
of
Snape all
of
the way
characters.
Through. Yes, it is.
No, it's no, Snape. No, 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 no. It, it's yeah. Wait, really close.
Wait, what villain are we talking about?
Bianca or.
She hasn't done nothing villainous.
She sent like, a fucking mermaid after all the boats. Mermaid.
Oh no!
She was trying to win the race. All right. The those guys had the
chopper thing.
Wednesday's team had spears stabbing the boat. So if there was any villain there, that's all Wednesday, right there.
I know. Yeah, and I'm like, is that okay? Like, I know there's no rules, but
murder?
I mean,
murder?
Come on! I mean,
it gets like Mad Max. It gets like Mad Max. Like all the fucking.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, head down, head back up.
Hey, guys, can I ask you something? Do you guys like the whole like Edgar Allan Poe kind of like vibe in the whole like you know episodes and the series? Because I think it's pretty fucking.
Well, I mean,
cool.
Edgar Allan Poe is honestly one of the ones.
I was going to ask you, Brandon.
He was one of the first authors in the stories that made me say, ooh, stories are badass, and I like stories, and then it ended up turning into literature degrees. And I do attribute a lot to Edgar Allan Poe and The Telltale Heart, which is my favorite of his. But yeah, no. So I see the Poe, it's like the Poe Cup or whatever they call it, and then you know Edgar Allan Poe, his little snap twice. Thing is you know how it's episode two and
that was great by the way.
Well, it's the embrace of the macabre. It's the embrace of this darkness without going demonic, which is always what I'm afraid of. Is everybody wants to go demonic? That's not really what audiences want. What audiences want is like a dark underbelly, like the Addams Family were always creepy, dark but funny.
There was a humor to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite things is that Wednesday smiles very seldomly, but when she does, it's at the absolute wrong thing. The absolute wrong thing.
One of my favorite, going off of that though, honestly, I have to say this because this made me laugh more than I've laughed in probably months and years. Is when they're talking about attempted murder, and she's like, "Do you want that on your record?" And she's like, "No, I don't want that on my record, because then they know that I failed." And that to me was such a perfect line, and it captures everything about her character that we have loved since you know either the '60s, '70s when the originals came out, or was it '50s even, or the '90s when we had you know the Raul Julia. Yeah. 60s. So I mean, I love it. The writing.
It's just like the last. It's the last.
The writing is so. Yeah. On point.
The writing is so good.
And the directing is so absolutely Tim Burton. The music is so absolutely Danny Elfman. It's almost like you're transported back to the days, and I hate to say this, when Burton was good.
Oh, Edward Scissorhands actually is what you're saying, Sean. Edward Scissorhands. I remember how much you love that one.
Yeah.
No, but it was really nice to see Burton and Elfman getting back together and actually just not missing a beat. Because it's been a while. Come on. It's been a fucking while for like
no,
maybe
no, no,
10
no, no.
They've years,
done a
you know?
Couple. They did Dumbo together. Every time Burton does a movie, Elfman.
Sorry. Yeah, I didn't say that correctly. I know they've been doing movies for
like
a long time
point.
For the past like so many years. I'm just saying that the on point of like just like the sound and the style and the vibe. It's missing that since the 90s, and that's what I meant.
No, what bothers me is that I'm looking ahead and seeing that Tim Burton isn't the director for all 8 episodes, and that one pisses me off. I wish that he took all of them.
No.
No, he's
Just looking at the scores on internet, IMDb, the last two, they like high scores. So I'm interested in why they're so high.
I'm checking.
Are you sure
it
about
now.
That?
I
do want
to, I hope I'm wrong.
All I know is number four is legendary, from my understanding.
Yes, yes.
Number four is legendary.
I might have sent you guys something on Instagram about four.
So I'm already down to the last episode, so I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah. So. Oh, cool.
But he only did four.
So this episode, you get more of a background story of the other students, just there was previous relationships between – we haven't talked about the sheriff
Tyler,
yet, or the sheriff's son, or also or Xavier, who Wednesday has this like little triangle.
This Twilight love story?
Yeah, so I was like, oh, it's kind of interesting.
No worries.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but it was like, I wasn't expecting that. Like, she's so awkward with – it's funny because she's just like – why are you looking at me, Xavier? And you know, Xavier's trying to like swerve, and then like also
trying to be like sulking in the background, just like, I paint. No one doesn't understand who I am. You know, poor me.
Yeah, it's so funny that she's in this like little love triangle without even knowing it. She doesn't even give a shit about it. And then like Bianca is pissed off at Wednesday because overall Xavier, her ex-boyfriend, he took attention to Wednesday. But anyone think it's kind of creepy of the Dr. Valerie? Yeah. I think it's Dr. Valerie. Wednesday's doctor. She collects like the little
don't
stuff.
Don't do this.
Raccoons.
Don't do this. This is right? Only or, no, he does that.
My fault.
He doesn't wrong. Know this. You got to stay. Episode, you got to stay in the fucking lanes,
my bad,
bro.
My bad. Anyways, she jumped ship, right? When she had her
don't
first,
you do this. You are literally ruining
the
me.
Lanes.
If you want me to keep watching this, you shut the fuck up, Ed.
I keep going. I'm looking at you, Eddie, like, bro, what are you doing?
I know,
man?
That she collects raccoons.
Sorry. Jesus. No, anyways. Well, you'll see. It's a weird thing. But overall, I do want to see more of her because you haven't seen her much with, you know, Wednesday Adams just tries to get away from her the whole time. So I think she has something to do with Nevermore. You have this idea that, you know, you see that the parents went to Nevermore, and I think the what's
there's
what's
a mystery the about the parents.
There's a mystery about the parents, and then the what's
principal
the principal was a teammate of
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like this becomes a little like, oh, there's a 30-year gap here of some drama.
Yeah, but I like how they're handling it without giving it away, and they they make the show about Wednesday. It's really not about her parents. It's not about Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's why I tolerate Luis Guzman. That's why I tolerate Catherine Zeta-Jones, which I think both of them are doing very good, better in more episodes. But it's not about the whole family. It's about Wednesday, and she's a star. Like
we have to talk about how good Thing is.
The Thing is perfect, absolutely, and I really do think that that it adds the Thing specifically adds such a nuance to the characters to the show that it makes it specifically Adam's family. Like without this, it would she's good as Wednesday, but I'm not sure everybody knows Wednesday. Everyone knows Thing. Yeah. Everyone knows who Thing is.
I know this is focusing about they're focusing on Wednesday on this show, but I really hope that they explore about Thing and where he comes from, because I remember she mentioned something like it's the mystery of all things about Thing in the Adams family, like, you know, like it's the mystery of the Adams.
Yeah, what happened to his body? No one knows.
So I'm always I hope that they explore more in this season about that. If not, hopefully
I would love to know that there's a body out there with no hand. And you know, like he just twitches, you know, like every once in a while, because you know.
So Wednesday Adams, though, she has some legit quotes in the first two episodes. You know, those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. I'm like, she's just nailing down some like.
She says some
solid,
great things about like social media and shit like that.
Like a botany fight off between her and Bianca about the orchid, like. You see just how brilliant Wednesday is as a person. How, you know, we're talking about, well, why do people like her? Why does Xavier like her? Because number one, she's different. She's weird. She's interesting. But she's also a fucking brilliant person. She plays the cello like a freaking Mozart. You know, I mean, there's a lot to her.
What I do love about this show, though, is that they're unpeeling this onion of the show as we go, as opposed to like, I was always thinking Lost had a great formula where essentially each episode, you'd have like main character, main character, main character, offshoot character. You had a good formula and a flow going where you got to learn about everybody who was on the island. I feel like this particular show isn't giving us what we want, but just hinting at the depth of the other characters enough in each individual episode that I want to know more. Like, I want to know about the roommate that can't transform. I want to know
Sinclair. Yeah.
And I want to know about the beekeeper. What is his powers? You know, we're still Xavier. We're still questioning what he can do. You know, we know that he can draw and it can come to life. Is that the extent of it? I don't know. So
the vampires. Yeah. How about the vampires?
How about the faceless people? Like, I mean, I just want to know. I want to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I do. Part two, you see more of the. She blots out when she touches stuff, right? She sees. She teleports almost. So you see more of that when she mates it, when she touches the flat, or when she gets to the where all the flats are at. Yeah, so she gets a ghost. So you actually see a ghost walking with a book, which
she saw herself. That was kind of
creepy as fuck. I was actually kind of a little scared for the little split moment. I was like, oh shit. And you get this idea though of Wednesday having these powers now. I never really thought of Wednesday having powers until now.
The first episode when that happens, guys, when the psychic powers, I was like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, what's going on here? You know. And then after, like, you know, the end of the first episode, I'm like, okay, I'm cool with this. She's got her powers and shit like that. It's good stuff, man. So, murder, mayhem, that's all you want in this fucking series.
And let's talk a little bit about the costumes and how wonderful the costumes are. Because I love, absolutely love the detail. And you get more as it goes on. But the little details when they're doing the Poe competition. You know, they all are dressed in these really eclectic, different badass
comes out in this cat suit. That was so fucking funny, dude. She's like, "You say one more word again, you're gonna lose eight. You're gonna lose one of your lives.
Yeah, eight of your lives." That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, she doesn't do anything half ass. Like, if she's doing it, it's full ass. It's full throated, and I think that's a really cool character trait. And as we get into the show deeper, you kind of learn a little bit more about her as a character. Mm-hmm. And it's like a little. They made her a little part Nancy Drew, a little part, a little part.
Agatha Christie,
yeah, like a murder mystery. I mean, I love the little Agatha Christie nod. I don't know if anyone caught that. You know,
it's probably in episode 8 because you guys keep ruining everything for me.
We have not ruined a single thing, you bastard.
I ruined one thing. I talked about the psychiatrist.
So what Eddie said pretty much at the, when you left, he's like, and they're all dead at the end. They're all dead at the end, actually.
I didn't watch that. But I mentioned maybe about the psychiatrist likes to collect squirrels. That's all I said.
Oh, dude, now you just ruined the whole thing.
No, if Sean's talking about costumes, I want to just point out how I love that her costume is the only one that's a darker shade than everybody else's there. Everybody else has that green, and she's
and
got
it's
the
always
dark,
black
oh,
and
beautiful.
White. Yeah.
And Morticia's costume is fantastic. Gomez has beautiful suits. I mean, everything is like a nod to the original, but not quite. It's like more realistic, and I think not so cartoonish. And I think that's. I really appreciate that part of it.
You get a little bit. I mean, I like it. Episode two, I definitely thought it dived into the costumes and it had a good little vibe of. It was different. I don't know. I enjoyed Wednesday a lot more. Than episode two.
You guys are all getting goth out. I love it, guys.
Oh yeah, I never thought I would like it, but I do.
And that brings us to the end of review. Now it's time on the podcast where each of the hosts provides his score on the following scale. Bro, can you please provide our scale, please?
Thing one.
Thing one.
Okay. So Zero, the perfect show. You don't need shit to enjoy. One, a feel-good first cocktail. Two, a happy buzz. Three, you're on the Uber or lifting home. Four, rough morning watch of shame. Five, blackout, shit-faced, spring break drunk. Gentlemen, let's start with Brandon on episode one.
So talking about episode one, I watched it last night, and I think that the only way to describe it is super underwhelmed. That's the best I can go with it. I had really high expectations. I've been looking forward to watching it for the last couple of weeks/months when I first heard about it. You guys had said, it's damn good. You need to watch it, and we're going to be podcasting on it. So I was like, okay, I'm looking forward to it. And it just didn't hit. I saw the foundations of something that could be good, but as far as what it actually gave, it just didn't hit. By the end, I thought it was really cool that they killed off Rowan, the Macaulay Culkin-ish guy that you guys talked about. But then you got the CGI monster that just kind of looked fake as fuck. And I'm like, we got better CGI. We got better than that. Now, I know, I'm getting into it. So my score for the first episode is a lot lower than I'm guessing what the rest of the season is going to be. For me, it's worse than an average show. Honestly, it's an episode that would make me want to give one more episode try, but not much more beyond that. So I'm going to go with, this is a 3.25. I'm Uber lifting home. But I'm going to have a little bit of spill off too and slurp that up. So 3.25. And let's go with thing two, Sean.
Okay. So I agree in part with Brandon. I think the first episode, it didn't really show me what the show was going to be about until the very end. And even that didn't really give me an introduction. It just gave me like a jump surprise that I wasn't expecting. Oh my gosh, they're going to go in a different direction. It's going to be violent. They're going to kill these kids. And, you know, holy cow. That being said, I think that the other elements of the episode were so well done, it's very hard for me to give it a below average score. The costumes were wonderful. The acting was wonderful. The directing was absolutely fantastic. I don't think the script was bad. It just wasn't engaging and compelling in a way that you expect. It's almost like it took its time developing a family you already were kind of familiar with, and it took a moment to get its feet. I'm not gonna just trash it for that, but I'm also not gonna reward it for its slowness. So once again, I don't think it was necessarily as bad as a 3.25, but I think it was average. I think it was a 2.5. I think that it could have been better. They could have given you a little bit more of the storyline earlier, but seeing where the show went from there, you know, it doesn't matter because this episode was very good. So, Jeremiah.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys in the first part of the episode. I was just like, man, I don't know about this whole psychic power she has. I was like, oh God, are they going to put the rest of the family into the first episode? So I was kind of like, oh man, I don't want to see another edition of Emma's Family. And then it kind of makes a turn and it gets really dark when like Wednesday almost gets assassinated or almost gets murdered and shit. And it gets really dark and it has like this goth vibe, you know, and it has this, you know, kind of like whodunit murder mystery, you know, type of a situation. It's a little mayhem. And it all wraps up in the first episode in a nice little gift package right there. And I thought, okay, you have me hooked. I'm ready for the next episode. And so I love this. I love the direction. I love the music. I think this is probably one of Danny Elfman's better work in a very long time. I really dig the shit out of it. I like the vibe of it. And yeah, I didn't think it was that bad. I don't think it's like the greatest episode ever, but I can easily say this is a two drink for me because I was like, you know what? I can't wait to see what's going on with the next episode, especially the last 15 to 20 minutes. I mean, that's like a one drink for me. I thought it was really fucking great. But in the first part of the episode, I wasn't really about. So it's a tea drink for me, guys.
So one of the things, sorry to interrupt before Ed goes, but one of the things I think would have made this better is to take the 15 minutes at the end and almost shift it to the beginning and then have her go back and explain where how she got
right
there. Okay. And that would have given it a little bit more like
more of a balance of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been totally cool right there. Fuck yeah, dude.
Go ahead, Ed. Sorry to interrupt you.
It's okay. It's well said what you said. I mean, like everyone, I don't want to reiterate, you know, just double down on what everyone says. But so the first, I didn't have much hope going into this. I didn't see many reviews. I saw maybe a week before, I was like, oh, Jenna Ortega, I remember who she is. She's in a lot of scary movies right now. And I actually wanted to see this because of her. And I was like, I was like, nothing's going to beat Addams Family, the movie. But then I was thinking, well, this is a show. This is about Wednesday. Let's see what it's about. So I didn't have any real hopes going into this. So the first episode, I feel like I was really happy as soon as she went into the school, Nevermore, as soon as she stepped away from the family. Cause I felt like I didn't, you almost kind of like it was rushed a little bit. So I was like, okay, either I almost like the idea what Sean just said. Like if he would have went backwards instead of that, it would have made a little bit more sense. Cause I feel like it was almost rushed too fast to like let's just like move the family out of the picture real fast. So now she's in boarding school because blah, blah, she's a troublemaker. Yeah. But I do like how as soon as she got to school, it became a good mystery and a good somebody's trying to get her killed right away. And then Macaulay Culkin's twin over there doesn't like her and then he dies. And then all of a sudden there's this old 2000 CGI monster that comes out of the picture. It's just like, that's crazy. I wasn't expecting that, but he's pretty hardcore, big eyeballs. I still think he's Fester, but I haven't watched all of it. But it did enough for me to think, I want to watch the next episode. Like it wasn't bad. It just wasn't I already knew right away. Okay. It was a pilot. It wasn't its best episode, but it pulled me in just enough where I want to watch the next one. So for that, I'm going to give this a normal score, a 2.5. I think that's a valid score. It wasn't bad. It wasn't good for me. It was a decent show to watch through the next episode. So yeah, 2.5.
I do think Jeremy's right. I think it lingered with this concept of a reiteration of the same Addams Family we've seen over and over and over again. I was like, oh God, are they just going to do this all over again from Wednesday's perspective? And that's why I like episode 2. I think it really jumped out of that. It really jumped out of that quickly.
Yeah.
All right. When you take those scores and add them together and divide by 4, what does that give episode 1?
A 2.5625. Write that down. This is a 2.5625.
So episode 1 gets a 2.5625.
Yeah, so now we can get into episode 2.
Yeah, Ed, why don't you take us through episode 2? What did you think about that one?
Okay, so episode 2, it definitely I don't know how to explain it. It just had more to the episode. It had this idea of like a Harry Potter vibe to it. And then you get there's a killer on the loose. And then you have Wednesday just really playing the cello like badass. It all of a sudden it just picked up real quickly. And Wednesday's character developed real cool with her roommate. I want to say Sinclair, the last name. And then there's this drama love triangle between Xavier. I enjoyed what happened in episode 2 very quickly. And I was able to see that this is probably, a better episode out of the, I'm thinking instantly it pulled me in for the rest of the season. Either way, if it goes downhill, I'm finishing it because of episode 2. And because of that, I'm going to give this a 2. Solid 2.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to give it like a 1. I don't think it's the best of the best, but it's a 2. It's a better than average show, than average episode.
Okay. So, Andy, I think that you hit the nail right on the head. That this is an episode that for me said, okay, I'm going to dedicate myself to the rest of the season. Even if I, didn't have to because we're doing it, I'd still want to watch it because I want to see where it's going. And I think that really shows Tim Burton and the rest of the whole cast really kind of getting comfortable with their characters, with the storyline. And I really am excited to see where it goes. I know that a couple of you guys have seen way beyond where I'm at, so I'm really excited to catch up to that. So I'm going to keep it nice and short and simple and say, Ed, I second that. It's a 2 for me. I don't think it's a great show yet. It's no Stranger Things. Please go back and listen to that one, and you can hear me just making out with that show. But it's not Stranger Things. It has the potential of being a fun show, but I don't think that it's going to ever be a show that really has a lot of meaning or it's popular, but I do think I'm going to make a prediction and say it's a flash in the pan kind of moment. I think it's going to be surpassed and kind of fizzle out. I hope that I'm wrong because I do like a lot of the people that are involved in this. So, Jer, I'm going to go with you.
I want to go because I bet you chose the Zune over the iPod, didn't you?
Oh,
Brandon, this is not a flash in the pan show. This show has heart and depth and has something that hasn't been seen on television in a long time.
I like the people involved. I love Tim Burton.
I, I could say it was a lukewarm bubble in the first episode. I think that it really developed characters in episode two. It established that this is not about the Addams Family. This show is about Wednesday and Wednesday's mm-hmm. struggle to grow up in a world where not only is she different in normal society, but she's also different in abnormal society. Mm-hmm. And I think that it shows her individuality coming through and actually people gravitating to her because of that individuality. There's a interesting concept. When everyone tries to be an individual, they end up being a group together of like the same, right? So everyone wants pink hair and then everyone has pink hair and they're all the same. So in their quest to be individualistic, they end up being together. Wednesday mm-hmm. is an individual. No one is going to be Wednesday, and she is thriving in spite of that individuality in a circumstance where individuality is pointing her out in a group of kind of abnormal people. So I really like the depth of this show. I like the character development when she acquiesced to go be part of the team. She's trying, the boat team. I think she's trying to include herself in normal things, but also showing her individuality.
Look at Sean liking a Tim Burton more than so, me. This is exciting.
I'm gonna give this episode a 1.5. I don't think it was fabulous, but it definitely established the show as a Wednesday show, and I think it had some great moments. Jeremiah.
I'm with Sean on this episode here. Woe is the loneliest number. I thought it was a way better episode than the first episode. And the reason why it is because it explores more of the school, more of the cast, and you have more of a darkness of the show. And the best thing about the show on the episode two is Jenna Ortega playing Wednesday. You can tell that she's getting more comfortable with the character Wednesday. She nails the deadpan, state of how he is, the dry humor and everything like that, and you're following her adventures with that. I love that you have Christina Ricci here passing the torch to Jenna regarding to Wednesday. And I love that you kind of have like this whole mystery around not just the school, but the town. And you are so right into it. This has a lot of a Harry Potter vibes. It has a lot of even Twilight vibes and everything like that. And it has like that whole kind of like murder mystery, Agatha Christie type of vibe, which is, I know it's not like, exactly what it is, but it just has that thing where I'm like, okay, I want to see what's going on in the next episode. So I think the second episode found what it was trying to do. You're going to see how it's going to be able to move forward off of that. So I'm with Sean here. This is a 1.5 for me as well.
All right. And when you take those four scores, and divide, add them up and divide by four, what does that give episode two an average rating of?
It gives us a 1.75.
So we've got
1.75.
All right, so essentially the second episode is in first place with a 1.75. And then the second episode is, or the first episode is in second place with a 2. What was the end score? 2.56.
5.625.
5.625. So I mean, obviously they're where they should be. The second episode was vastly superior than the first. So the question is where we're going to go from here, because I think episode 3 and 4 has something special in it that's very good, and then I'm really looking forward to finishing out the season because this show only gets better from here. I
heard that. Yeah,
I have one more episode, like I said, finishing that. No, I'll be finishing it tomorrow night. Yes, I will.
I'm actually, Brandon, curious to see what you think about episode 3 and episode 4. I'm not going to build it up or anything like that.
I'm really guessing that our listeners out there are going to want to hear what I have to say. So make sure you guys check in and tune in for next episode when we tackle episodes 3 and 4 of Wednesday.
Definitely, because we'll release it on Wednesday.
And we'll release it on Wednesday.
Release it on Wednesday? What day will you record it on, though?
Wednesday. Wednesday. We'll record Wednesday on Monday, but release Wednesday on Wednesday, and then Monday and then Wednesday will be a very interesting,
different episode. Wait,
what? Who's on first?
Third base?
I don't know who's on second.
All right, if you enjoyed our review or a fan of the podcast, we ask that you please subscribe wherever you're listening. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Physical reviews are our lifeblood. We ask that you please write out some physical reviews for us on iTunes. We really appreciate that. You can also find us on Instagram at the.gentlemanpodcast, the.gentlemanpodcast. You can visit our website, thegentlemanpodcast.com. If you want, you can reach out to us by email at hosts with an S, H-O-S-T-S, at thegentlemanpodcast.com. We love to hear from you, and we all thank you for listening. And we will see you next Wednesday with two more episodes of Wednesday. Cheers, gentlemen.
Snap twice. Yes. It was a really good episode.
The Addams Family. Does anyone remember the MC Hammer song?
Dun, 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 dun,
the
dun,
first
dun.
One?
Oh, I know that. Addams Family.